Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Looking at the will of God, and we looked at this thought, understanding the will of God. We looked at there is a printed will of God, which is the Word of God tonight. We looked at there is a personal will of God, but then we also looked at there is a progressive will of God. And that progressive will of God doesn't mean that salvation is progressive. Salvation is immediately, amen. But in our walk with God, we should be progressing in that day by day. In other words, we should be closer to God today than we was yesterday. We should have a better relationship with God today. Our prayer life should be better. Our knowledge of the Word of God should be better. We should be progressing in the Word of God. And I want to conclude tonight on some things about the will of God. And we'll look at this tonight, undertaking the will of God, but then also underestimating the will of God. Now, know what he says in verse number 10 or verse number 15. He said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now, it's interesting. Whenever we look at that word circumspectly, it means this: with attention to guard against surprise or danger. And he's saying this to us tonight: "See then that you walk circumspectly." In other words, that you walk with attention. I don't know what you done right then, but man, it just come to life. Thank you so much. "See then that you walk with attention to guard against surprise or danger." He goes on to say in verse number 16, "redeeming the time because the days are evil." Redeeming the time, and that means simply this: to make way or to make wise or sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. And as we look at time, what do we need to do? We need to walk with a guard, but then we also need to redeem that time. We need to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good. And may God help us to redeem the time, to make wise use of our time. And you know what? We only get 24 hours in a day. Are you with me? Right? That's all we get in it. All we get is one life. And only one life will soon be passed, and all that's done for Christ is all that'll last. And I want to say this to you tonight. We need to redeem the time that we have. We need to make wise choices of what we do with our time. Time management is something that's very important. Matter of fact, the Lord used Brother Kevin Broyhill to really help me in that area several years ago. We sat down and talked about some different things, and we need to redeem the time. And he goes on to say this: "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Understanding what the will of the Lord is. May we redeem our time by doing God's will for our life. Now, we looked at, and I already said this, understanding the printed and the personal and the progressive will of God. Tonight, I want to look at this. Number one, undertaking the will of God. Now that we understand that there is a printed will of God, there is a progressive will of God, and God has a personal will for your life, now what do I do with that? How do I undertake the will of God? And I want to say this to you tonight. It's encouraging to me. It's exciting to me. And it's also humbling to me to know that God has a will for me. God has a plan for me. And God wants to use me. You know what? It don't matter who you are tonight. It don't matter how many times you failed God tonight. God wants to use you. God wants to help you. God wants to do something with you. And it should humble us tonight to think that the Creator of all the world, church, He wants to use us. He wants to do something with us. And when we think about that, it should humble us. Undertaking the will of God. Once you understand the will of God, the next step is to undertake the will of God. two quick things about that. In understanding the will of God, watch this, there is man's part in that. Yes, God has a part, and we're going to get to that, but there is man's part in undertaking the will of God. I want to say something to you tonight, and you've heard me say it many times, but man has a free will. And God, I've said this many times, God's not going to beat you over the head and make you do something. It's up to you. God will use you if you'll let Him. God will help you if you'll let Him. But there is man's part in this thing of doing God's will. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, and we talked for a long time. Matter of fact, I didn't think I was ever going to get away from it. But we talked for a long time, and he was talking about this very thing. And he said, you know, he said, I believe that God has a will. He said, but I believe man gets in the way of that a lot of times. You know what I said to him? I said, I agree 100% with you. Can I just say this to you tonight? I believe with all of my heart that it's God's will for me to be the pastor at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. If I didn't have 100% peace on that, I wouldn't be the pastor, man. I would resign and go somewhere else. But watch this. If I resign, I'm not only going to miss God's will for me, I'm going to miss God's will for my family. I'm going to miss God's will for the church. So undertaking the will of God, we must understand that there is a man's part on this thing. Let me show you two or three things about that. So, preacher, how can I be prepared? What can I do to be ready to undertake the will of God in my life? Well, let me show you two or three things. Number one, watch this. Be sure of your salvation. These are just practical things. Be sure of your salvation. You're never going to do much for God doubting your salvation. You know what? If I went to the Ford place tonight, and I was looking at a vehicle, or tomorrow, and I was looking at a vehicle, and that salesman began to talk to me, and I said, man, is this a good vehicle? Well, I'm just not sure. Well, man, will this hold up? I'm just not sure. It's just going to be good for my, well, I'm just not sure. You know what he's going to do? He's going to talk me out of buying that vehicle. Why? Because he's not sure of it. Now, I want to say something to you tonight. You'll never do much for God living in a life of doubt. Now, I want to say to you tonight, it is not, hear me and hear me well, it is not God's will for you to live in doubt. Either the Bible's right or it's not. Either it's true or it's not. But I've got good news tonight. It is right. It is true. And if you've done what the Word of God said, man, hey, believe God, trust God, and tell the devil to go back to hell and leave you alone. Let me tell you the reason a lot of people has the devil on their back all the time, because they give them a free piggyback ride. Say, preacher, the devil's on my back. Tell him to get off of it. Man, we can know for sure we're saved. And you're never going to do much for God until, number one, you get that nailed down in your life. Salvation is not necessarily based on what I've done. Yes, I had to believe Him and ask Him to save me, but it's based on what He's already done. We're either saved or we're not. And can I just say this? You say, preach, how many times you've been saved? Once. Once. Say, have you ever lost it? Ain't mine to lose. Jared, I just said it's not mine to lose. I'm not the one that gave it to me. He's the one that gave it to me. Matter of fact, I was reading through John 10 again just yesterday. Boy, you read John 10 and don't believe in eternal security, you're crippled too high for crutches. I'm just being real with you, man. It's the plainest doctrine in the Word of God. It's not a secondary doctrine. Matter of fact, I don't know that there's secondary doctrines in the Bible. It's we can know that we're saved, and you're never going to do much for God until you know that. So I would say this, be sure that you're saved. Number two, watch this, undertaking the will of God, man's part. Not only be sure you're saved, but watch this, be separated from known sin. You're not going to do much for God with sin in your life. That same gentleman I was talking to yesterday, he got on this subject too. He got on sin. And he said, I'm going to tell you something, preacher. I said, what's the first time I ever met the guy? He said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, well, tell me. He said, well, I'm going to. I said, I figured you was. He said, when God saved me, God changed me. He said, my language changed. What I drink changed. The way I live changed. He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I do not go out and indulge in willfully sinning. He said, now I still miss the mark every day of my life and ask God to forgive me for it. He said, but if you're going to do the will of God, you got to separate from sin. And can I just say something to you tonight? If you can do those things and it doesn't bother you, then you probably need to get saved. If you can talk like a sailor and take God's name in vain, you probably need to get saved if it don't bother you. You got to be separated from sin. One thing that I really struggled with, I really struggled with this. And it was one instance that just really got me. I'll not go into that instance, but you would see, man, churches growing and people getting saved at them, and then all of a sudden, and I'm sure you saw this, all of a sudden it would come out that the preacher was living in sin. And I'd think, what in the world is going on right there? Here's what I had to come to the conclusion of. My wise pastor said this to me. He said, son, what you've got to remember is that the word of God will not return void. It doesn't matter who's saying it. It's the word of God. There's a matter of fact, there's a book, and I'll just throw this out and pass it. We'll go to the next thing. There's a book that's called A Tale of Three Kings. And you're to get that book and read that book. It'll change your life about some things like that. Deals with Saul, David, and Solomon. I'm telling you, it's a great book. You got to be separated from known sin. Number three, you got to saturate yourself in the Scriptures. If you're going to do the will of God, if you're going to undertake the will of God, you got to saturate yourself in the Scriptures. I mean saturate yourself in them. You say, preacher, my time is limited. We make time for other things. Technology today is amazing. It really is. Let me tell you one of the best things about technology today, listening to the Bible. You don't have to put the cassette in the tape player no more of Alexander Scorby. Anybody have a clue what I'm talking about? My dad's probably still got those tapes in the basement. He said every one of them. You can pull your smartphone out. You can listen to it with music behind it. I was listening to Bible Is one day, and it got over there, that guy, that Gadarean maniac. And whenever they got to that Gadarean maniac, Brother Jonathan, one of them demons screamed out while they was reading that text, and I about wrecked the car. I ain't listened to the drama side of it since. Scared me to death. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You've listened to that before. I just listen to the reading now. But let me tell you what, if you're really seeking the will of God in your life, just turn the Bible on and listen to it. Just listen to it. You say where? Anywhere. Just saturate yourself in the Word. Can I just say this? If you're struggling with sin, saturate yourself in the Word of God. If you're struggling with temptation, saturate yourself in the Word of God. Let me tell you the way Jesus overcome temptation. It was through the Word of God. That's what it was through. Now, he had been apart praying, and he had saturated himself in the Scriptures. And when temptation comes, saturate yourself in the Word of God. God speaks through His Word. God, when I pray, that's me talking to Him. But boy, when I read my Bible, that's Him talking to me. And can I say something then? I don't like a one-way conversation. Y'all know what I'm saying? I got a phone call not long ago, and it lasted about an hour, and I think I said three words. Hello, okay, bye. That's about all it was. You say, what did the other person say? The same thing, over and over and over again. I don't like a one-way conversation. Matter of fact, it's not a one-way conversation. A lot of times we don't have a conversation with God. All we do is talk to Him, talk to Him, talk to Him, talk to Him. Hear me, church. If you're going to undertake the will of God, you're going to have to get in this book and saturate yourself with it. Saturate yourself with the Scriptures. Watch this. Be sincere in your supplication. Be sincere in your... Why are you praying what you're praying? Can I ask you that? Why are you asking God to do what you're asking God to do? Is it something that'll bring glory to you or glory to Him? Sometimes I think people pray for growth in the ministry so they can say, we have reached this place. We should pray for growth in our Sunday school class so more people will hear the gospel. We should pray for growth in our church so more people will hear the gospel. Think about this, sincere in your supplication, but watch this. Be surrendered. This is understanding the will of God, man's part. Be surrendered to the Spirit. Be surrendered to the Spirit. Be surrendered to the Spirit. I've made reference, and I don't know why, but it seems like every conversation I've had in the past month, this verse has come up. That we walk in the Spirit to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Every day we wake up, we should pray, God, get in my head before I get in my head. We surrender ourselves to Him. When we say what we say, before we say it, we should in our spirit say, God, is this going to edify You? Is this going to glorify You? Are you going to, I'm preaching good. Are you going to be pleased in my words, man? Hear me, we've got to surrender ourselves to Him. Surrender ourselves to Him. That we present our bodies a living sacrifice. That we, you know, I got to thinking about that the other day. Do you know when that Old Testament sacrifice was made, when that animal was the most powerful? When it was dead and on the altar. That's when it done its greatest work. That's when it done its greatest work. While it was living, it was just an animal. But when it was sacrificed and placed on the altar, that's when it was the most powerful. Hear me tonight, church. When you're sacrificed and placed on the altar, that's when you will become the most powerful. That's when you will be of the greatest use. And I'm going to tell you something. If we're going to undertake the will of God, we've got to surrender ourselves to Him. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, Lord, it's not my, or God, it's not my will, but it's Thine. It's not my will. It's not what I want. It's not the things that are pleasing to me. It's Your will, Lord, Your will. So understand that. In undertaking the will of God, there's man's part. Watch this, in undertaking the will of God, there's also God's part. There's God's part in that. Let me give you a couple things about that. These are just practical things tonight. Let me give you a couple things about that. When God cautions you, beware. When God cautions you, beware. When God puts up the yield sign, when God puts up the woe sign, y'all know what I'm talking about? You better beware. There's something that's very important. I'll never forget. I was taking up Sharing Hope in Times of Crisis. It was a chaplaincy class at the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville years ago for law enforcement. And in that, I'll never forget, Brother Tim, one of the instructors in that said this. Said, you need to know what the nudge is. A lot of people kind of looked at them like some of y'all looking at me right now. But as soon as they said it, I knew exactly what they was talking about. And they went on to say this, you've got to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit nudges you, you've got to know that. There's been times, man, when I've been talking to somebody, and I'm just going to tell you something. The Lord said, that's it. Shut it down. Just stop. They spend time. Said, I started to walk to the pulpit and preach. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost said, preach something different. Let me tell you what you better do. When God cautions, you better beware. When God cancels, you better listen. You better listen. You better listen. You say, preacher, how do I know if it's the voice of God? You'll know. Let me tell you one way you'll know it's the voice of God. Watch this. It'll be backed up by this. God's will never lead you contrary to God's word. It never will. I've heard people say this. Well, you know, preacher, I prayed about this. It's what the Lord said do. And it was dealing with them doing less for God and stepping down from doing as much for God. I'm just going to be real honest with you. I don't know that I can find that anywhere in the Scriptures. You need to know the voice of God. And when He warns, you better beware. When He cautions, but when He cancels, listen. Now watch this. When God convicts you, stop. When God convicts you, stop. When God convicts you, stop. Stop. You know the reason stop signs are put in the places that they are? Because they want you to stop. And if you don't, there's a great chance that something could happen. I sat in the house one night, and I heard, wham! Leslie said, what was that? I said, somebody just wrecked. That's what that was. Brother Tim, I got in the truck and come out and turned left, went right down there to the stop sign, and a lady had run the stop sign. Guy hit her right in the side. It's a pretty bad wreck. You know what? Every bit of that could have been prevented if they'd just stopped. And a lot of times there's things that happen in our life, and it wasn't the will of God for them to happen. They happened because when God convicted us, we didn't stop. When God concerns you, get involved. When God concerns you, get involved. Watch this. When God calls you, don't procrastinate. When God calls you, we could talk about salvation in that. We could talk about a call to preach in that. But I want to say this to you. God has something for every individual in here to do. And when God calls you to do that, hey, listen to me, don't procrastinate that. Man, do it. Just do it. Just do it. So there is understanding the will of God. There is undertaking the will of God. There's man's part and there's God's part. Number three tonight, and I'll be done. There is underestimating the will of God. Underestimating the will of God. I read this week. It said the problem with underestimating the will of God is that it diminishes faith, limits experience of God's power, leads to self-reliance, and robs individuals and communities of the fullness of God's intended work. I say that to you again. Listen to it. The problem with underestimating the will of God is that it diminishes faith, limits experience of God's power, leads to self-reliance, and robs individuals and communities of the fullness of God's intended work. Underestimating the will of God. I remember years ago, well, it was 2016, during the Foothills Revival, there was a guy that went to Northwood, and he had a little bit of a speech impediment, and God called him to preach. And I'll never forget the first time he preached was actually during that meeting. And we had moved inside, and we let a couple young preachers preach. Man, he started preaching. He never stumbled the first time. Brother Johnny never stumbled the first time. He never stuttered the first time. He stood up that night, preached with the power of God on him, didn't he, Daddy? With a touch of God on his life. You say, preacher, what happened? I'm telling you what happened. He got in the center of God's will, and God used him. Don't underestimate what God will do with you. I remember Brother Ronnie Simpson was preaching on living a large life in a small place. If you could ever find that recording, you'll listen to it. Living a large life in a small place. And he deals with the first 30 years of the life of Christ, living a large life in a small place. And he said that there was a preacher that was there at their church years ago, or a young man, and said he had a very bad speech impediment. And said he come up to him and said, Preacher, I think God called me preach. And he said, all right. And they talked back and forth a little bit over a little bit of time. And then he said, do you not, he asked Brother Ronnie, of course, with a speech impediment, he said, do you not understand the way I can't talk? Brother Ronnie, Brother Simpson looked at him and he said, do you not think God knew that whenever he was calling you? God called that young man to preach, and they said every time that he would step in the pulpit, every bit of that would go away, and he'd preach with the power of God on his life, with a touch of God. Listen to me, don't underestimate what God can do with you. You said, but preacher, what about this and what about that? Do you not think God knows that? Do you not think God knows that? Sure, God knows that. Do you think God made a mistake when he made you? No, he didn't make a mistake when he made you. Don't underestimate the will of God. I thought about this, and I'll give you this in closing. Miss Tanya, if you want to come start playing softly. We're going to get done a little bit early. The kids probably won't be done yet. But I thought about this. The will of God tonight. Man, I want to live in the will of God. And we can understand what that is. I thought about this in closing. Some have given up the will of God for their families. They've given up. I could take you to a place tonight. I would not do it, but I could take you to a place tonight and talk to a man that's pretty miserable, that can tell you about a time where he felt the Lord was calling him to preach, but because of some family, he didn't. He let that steer him away from that. And I tell you something tonight, some have given up the will of God for their families. Don't give up the will of God for your families, because a lot of times those that give up the will of God for their families only end up losing their family. Don't give up the will of God for your family. If your family loves God, they're going to support you in it. If they don't love God, hear me tonight. You need to pray and beg God to save them and help them fall in love with Him. But you'll never win them if you're not in the will of God. Some have given up the will of God for their family. Some have given up the will of God, watch this, for their friends, only to lose their friends. They've given up the will of God for their friends, only. Some have given up the will of God for fame and fortune, only to lose their fame and fortune. Anything that you put ahead of the will of God will end up costing you a great price. Everything that you give up for the will of God, God will replace with something far greater. And I'll just say that again. Everything that you give up for the will of God, God will replace with something far greater. You have to look at that in the Spirit's view and not the fleshly view. A lot of people think, well, you know what? If I give up the will of God for this, God's going to give me a new vehicle. He's going to give me something greater. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. But I tell you this, you'll never go wrong living in the will of God. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot sustain you. Now, let's say that again. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot sustain you. Being in the will of God. Being in the will of God. I'll say this to you in closing tonight. Again, I know I've already said it. The will of God's not a mystery tonight. The will of God is not something that's difficult to understand. You ask God to reveal His will to you. You saturate yourself in the Scripture. You be sincere in your supplication. And I'm going to tell you what God will do. He'll reveal His will to you. Say, preacher, I'm just not sure on what I need to do right now. You better stand still. I'll never forget Brother Ray Stewart. Years ago was talking to me. Here's what he said. It was actually when I was on the board of directors of Prairie Baptist Missions. We was in a board meeting and we was interviewing a missionary. And one of the guys on the board spoke up and he said, I'm just not sure. I spoke up and I said, I agree with you, preacher. I said, I'm not sure either. Brother Stewart, he was older then. He laid back in that office chair he was sitting in. He folded his hands up on his chest, and here's what he said. He said, men, when you're not settled on it, stay away from it. When you're not settled on it, stay away from it. You can be settled in God's will if you'll saturate yourself in the Scripture. Here's what so many wants. They just want to pray one time, and God just give it to them. Sometimes he sees just how serious we are about it. Sometimes he sees just how, you know what? If God answered every prayer that I ever prayed, I'd be dead. I'd be dead. If you ever have a kidney stone, you'll pray and ask God to let you go home. And I'm not talking about to the house down there. I'm talking about to the big house, praise God, to heaven, where there ain't no pain. I'll never forget the first one I had in Panama City, Florida. I prayed, God, let me die. I'm telling you, every time I have one, I pray, God, let me die. I'm glad he don't answer every one of them. Are you with me? If you'll be sincere in your supplication, if I could say anything and saturate yourself in the Scriptures, God will reveal his will to you. And when he does it through this book right here, when hard times come, times of discouragement comes, you can go back to this book and say, no, God revealed his will to me from his word, and I'll stay true to him.